Thank you for worshiping the Lord so well this morning. And when the music blesses hearts like that and praises the Lord, it's really good for the sermon time, you know, because the sermon don't have to be real good. People have already received tremendous blessing. If that food was ready, we'd dismiss right now. But we do want to keep holding before the Lord these dear people and one another and anybody else that God brings to your mind. And today he's thinking about God's providence in our lives, Christ's providence. And providence is a word that I don't use around the house very much. I'll often use it ironically in reference to which team wins a particular game. Well, I say, oh, by God's providence, this team won. And if you could think of the word providence connected to the word provide, the Lord our provider. So when God wants to help us, he tells us about himself, and one of the great names he gives himself is the Lord our provider. And that's part of his providence. He provides for us. And so if we can think of his directing our steps and that mysterious and scary thought, how we have to trust him in the fog and in the darkness of our own choices, because we can't even always figure out why we decide to do what we're going to do. But he has his plan succeed. When I was growing up, by the time I was 12, my family had lived in four different places. That might not seem a lot in today's world, but for me it was a lot. Because God had put in me, as a young person, the personality to want to stay put right where I was. And, for example, if you asked me as a little child, 6 or 7 years old, hey, it's summertime, do you want to go to Kennywood or do you want to stay at home? Or do you want to go to swim or do you want to stay at home? I'd think for about 3 seconds and I'd say, stay home. And this would irritate my brothers to no end and my parents, of course, who wanted to get me out and about in the world. And as a child, I felt like I was searching for some solid place where I could be comfortable. Searching for an everlasting home in a very temporary world where things felt like, for me as a little kid, they were changing all the time. Later on, through Scripture, God taught me that of all things, and it was a great surprise and a delight, that he was my home. He was my everlasting home, and I was to feel at home wherever I went because God was there. And Moses felt that way in Psalm 90. He prayed, he said, Lord, you have been our dwelling place for all generations. And Moses is saying, Lord, I feel like you're my home, and you were home for the people who are a lot older than me, that generation. And you're going to be home for the people younger. You're going to be there for them, Lord. Thank you for that. And this morning, as we think of the dear people in the transition in our church, I don't know if the Apostle Paul were preaching to the Colemans and the Criders, and to any one of us who going through too many changes all at once. You know, he would, I'm sure, preach something like this in Acts chapter 17. The Lord determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live with us, sent to another place to serve, and how God loves them in the midst of all that. Do you mean that God cares about where we're at? You know, oh, he don't care if we're in Ohio or Timbuktu. No, he cares. He directs. He loves. He provides. He's involved. And he directs our steps to go there. Surprising. Because I don't think with our minds working and ability to choose, we can't do that on our own very effectively. We need his guiding hand. That's part of his providence. And his providence is over all creation. When we were born, God set that time. When we'll go to be with him. God knew before we were born when he would call us to be, that our life would be done. And I really love Christ's providence because without his care, most of us are going to go in the wrong direction. Even the choices he gives us, which are so important, he seems to limit those choices many, many times so that we end up choosing what he really wants for us and the blessing he would provide for us. And his providence is there for us so that we know He will care, He will lead, He will provide in a hurting time. We're not just left to ourselves. We're thinking, well, somebody else decided this for me. God would be there to help. His providence helps us to avoid a heresy that was really in our country early in its life, which would be the heresy of deism. Deism simply believes that God created it, all of us, loves us very much, loves the world, but He stepped back, kind of wound up creation, gave us a brain and said, do the best you can. I'll see you in heaven if you get there. Not involvement. Providence says God is involved every day to direct and to care in ways that we don't always understand. If you were to look in Webster's dictionary and look up the word providence, you'd find this description: the care and guidance of God. We want that for the Colemans, the Criders, for each one of us. The care and guidance of God. The Bible dictionary would put it this way: God governing the universe and all the activities of people. Wow. King David, he experienced God's providence this way. He said, the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of His heart for all generations. The folks in the Bible, they really had a big picture. Not just God would guide my life, but everybody, the generations, the folks in their 90s and 100s, the real little ones. Don't we want God's providence for them? His care for their future, to all generations. Solomon experienced God's providence this way. Here's a king. And he could pretty much get anything done he wanted to get done, I guess, as a king. He said this: I plan my course, but the Lord directs my steps. In other words, a lot of times Solomon said, I'm going to go this way and have this happen. And he ended up going this way, and something else happened. And he said he didn't understand that, but he knew the Lord was in it. The Lord directed his steps. And the Lord does that for us because He's smarter than us. He's wiser than us. He sees the future much better than we do. That's for sure. He loves us more than we love ourselves. And He's there to help us in the steps that we take. And that's the testimony, I guess, of Jonah's life in the Old Testament, Jonah the prophet. You know, he said, I don't like Nineveh. I like Tarshish. Nineveh was to the north. Tarshish was to the south. So he said, I'm going to Tarshish. And God said, you head north. He said, no, I'm heading south. He heads south. God gets him in a big fish. Whoosh, back north you go, you know. It's God's way of saying, I'll direct, Jonah, I'll direct you, even when you're going in the wrong direction. We really need that kind of intervention in our lives. I've found that in my life, without God's providence, His leading, His care, His voice, God could tell me 100 times, obey me. And left to myself, you know what I'll do? 99 out of 100, I'll say, I'm going the other way. I got a mind of my own, Lord. Put me in the driver's seat over here. The Lord's providence, He helps us. He cares for us. John Wesley experienced God's providence in this way. He said, God acts in heaven and on earth by governing all, every moment, superintending everything He has made. And we trust His heart. We trust His hand when we don't see it. To think of God's providence is not blind fate. It's not to say, oh, well, we don't know why things happen, and it just was meant to be, and that's it. God's not in that picture. The Bible says He's in every picture, His providence. It's not humanism that's really big today. Humanism says everything that happens is simply up to you and I. We make it happen. If it's to be, it's up to me. God's not in that picture either. The Bible says God directs the steps. He wants us to take that choice, but He wants us to put our choices under His guidance. Eric Little was an Olympic runner back in the 1920s, and he's the one about whom the film was written, Chariots of Fire. If you want to know how that film ends, ask Pastor Doug. We're gonna miss that. And people who saw Eric Little run would say this about him. He was a determined runner. And he was. But Eric Little, who believed in Christ, would probably put it this way. God determined that I win. And so he went for it. It was a different emphasis. And God was in the picture. God was directing behind the scenes. God was his co-pilot. Some of you might have that bumper sticker. God was his pilot. Some of you might have that bumper sticker. The co-pilot and pilot people shouldn't fight with each other. Thank the Lord. He is in the bumper sticker. Both ones. He is the director. And for our lives, how much we need him. A couple of things to trust the Lord about in our hearts so we know him better. And we know his hand in the everyday parts of life that I certainly can't have yet to figure out. I feel like the longer I go, the more confused I get. But I do know the Lord's guiding hand. And here's some things. That God places us where he wants us at a particular time. And it's really for his honor and glory. Again, Acts chapter 17. God determined. He's determined the places where we live and serve. Not just a number, not just a street number, but a place in history. Sometimes I scratch my head and say, in the year 2005, we need Moses, we need Elijah, we need Paul, we need Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And instead, we got us. That's what the Lord wanted. We're the right ones to be serving him at this time and under his care. He cares about us. It's our time to shine for Christ. God didn't want to pick anybody else to spread the word in the early 21st century other than us. Just lean on him more. Let him do his good work among us. Your time where you're at, God is in it. Meet him there. Number two, Christ is the hero of your life story. Oh, please get this. Don't try to be your own hero. Christ is the hero of your life story. You and I don't have a chance to write an autobiography. Those are nice to read. An autobiography is when a person writes a book about themselves. I would like to do that, wouldn't you? Kind of be the main subject of a whole book. Written by me, for me, and about me. Just be a terrific experience. Instead of an autobiography, the Lord does this with our lives. He writes a biography. He writes the story of our lives. He really does. And guess what? We're not even the main character. Christ is the main character. And we get to be in the book. What a blessing that he would write a story for you. It's precious to him, you know. Really precious. It's real. And that's what I hear people give testimony about in their walk with Christ. I hear some of you say, he was with me every day. Main person in your story. I hear you sing in times of desperation. Every hour I need thee, Lord. Every hour. Give me that hand. Give me that direction, that counsel, that care. I hear you sing, moment by moment, I am kept in his love. So that in everything, Paul would say, Christ might have first place. Your life, where you live, where you work, where you have recreation. So that Christ would have the supremacy. It's God's providence for you. In the fragileness of human relationships. In church life. People say, why do people go to church? Christ. I can't think of any better answer. It's his people. It's a place to sing. Be with him. And so that in everything Christ might have, his providence might direct. We hear people say, and some of you have given testimony, I lost a job and I was out of work. And it was so hard. But didn't his hand seem to be there talking to me, helping me in ways I thought I'd never even ask for, even need that kind of help. He somehow came. He was the biggest part of my unemployment. Others would say, Joe got his health back. Wasn't that great? Wasn't it great God would touch his life to see him healthy again? And yet Christ shines out, outshines even what he did for Joe. He was there, his care, his providence. Others, we lost a loved one in our family. It was so hard. We would never be prepared for anything like that. But in the midst of that, wasn't Jesus present for the person? Wasn't he there bigger than death? Wasn't he there stronger than grief, to care, to provide, to counsel, to direct? Sarah Edwards was married to a famous preacher, Jonathan Edwards. This was back in the 1700s. And he died pretty unexpectedly from smallpox while trying to serve in a different area. He was going to be the president of Princeton University. Sarah, Jonathan's wife, wrote a letter to her daughter a month after losing her husband. This is what she wrote. She was attempting to see God's hand in it all and how hard it was, but her heart, like a magnet, leaned to Christ. Here's what she said. She said, "My very dear child, what shall I say? A good and holy God has covered us with a dark cloud." When you're in a dark cloud, you don't understand what's going on. You just wonder if you'll make it till tomorrow. "A good and holy God has covered us with a dark cloud. Oh, that we might embrace him." Try to hold on to God. "And lay our hands on our mouths. When things happen, we don't understand it. It just takes our breath away and we become silent." She goes on to say, "But my God lives. He has my heart. Oh, what a legacy my husband and your father has left us. We are given to God. There I am. There I love to be. Christ, the hero of your story. There you are with him. There you would love to be. Just to be next to him. See his providing care, his hand, his providence." And then it makes us feel one more truth to embrace: Christ as our closest and most mysterious friend. You could probably say with me that I don't understand the Lord a lot of times. I only understand what he shows me in the Bible, and we go by faith every day. I don't understand him. And yet I know he calls us to trust him and love him. And most of the time, the Lord doesn't tell us for most of the things happening in our lives. Be a mystery till heaven's gates. And then the brightness of Christ probably brighten up everything that's pretty dark and mysterious down here. And God's grace is to be with us and almost not tell us sometimes, not tell us why things are happening. There's a story of a man who went to a play with the author of the play. And he sat next to the author. And throughout the play, the author of the play was telling him everything that happened before it happened. Wouldn't you like to have that? He said, this is what he wrote. "He insisted on telling me everything and explaining everything in great detail. Told me what to watch for, how people would move in directions throughout the stage before they did it. He anticipated all my surprises. He told me what would happen before it would happen. He ruined my whole evening." Then he went on to write this: "The greatest author of all has made no such mistake." God chooses to say, I can't say what I'm up to. I can't say how I'm going to help it. But know that I'm here, I love, I provide, I'm direct. I'm the hero of the story you're living. And he steps towards us as our closest, most mysterious friend, directing things for his glory. And whenever God wanted to work in people, I think he catches us like that, as a mysterious friend who moves in on us. I don't know where everybody's heart is today toward the Lord. when I need to turn to the Lord in a significant way, He normally catches me off guard, interrupts me, and I have to deal with Him. I know when I received Christ, it was a Saturday. I do remember that. I went to watch television. No one else was home, and I thought, half hour of messing around, then I'm off to do what I want to do. I had needs in my life, I knew. But turning the TV on, God cut me off at the pass. It's a preacher preaching away, Billy Graham. And God said to my heart, this is your time to know me. This is your time to trust me, receive me, and follow me. And for me, it was like, well, I'd have never planned this on a Saturday night. But it was, I couldn't resist saying yes. And for each one of us, could we not resist saying yes to Christ for the days in which we live? Say, Lord, you're here for us. We're glad. You're going to be there for the Colemans and the Criders, and we're so glad. And please, Lord, let your providence continue to work. Don't leave us to just our own choices. We'll botch it up. But we do trust your guiding hand as we make decisions directed on you. Trust Him with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. He'll direct your paths and make them real straight. And we want to close with a real nice song. Just have a short time of prayer for Doug and Miriam, John and Nancy, and pray for them a lot, not just when we're here with this short time in worship. Could you guys come forward and maybe elders, deaconesses, or if you've been kind of one of their best buddies, if you can get near to them, go for it. If not, see them at the lunchtime. Doug is waving for the youth to get over here.